Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. I am Yota, your Chorus Call operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the OPAP conference call to present and discuss the OPAP S.A. third quarter 2020 financial results conference call. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jan Karas, Acting CEO of OPAP S.A. Mr. Karas, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, operator, and good afternoon and good morning to everybody. Welcome to the OPAP's third quarter 2020 investors conference call. Although it is true that in many ways, the once again alarming situation related to the COVID-19 pandemic feels like a déjà vu that has been causing turmoil to any business, our Q3 results tangibly demonstrate that our business is fortified in order to overcome challenges. This, together with our well-planned actions, led OPAP to be able to report profitability growth for the quarter, which will be now analyzed by our CFO, Pavel Mucha. I will then provide you with an update of our business progress and future developments. We will then answer any questions you might have. Pavel, over to you.
Thank you, Jan, and good afternoon to everybody. Q3 was a period closer to normality in this pandemic-hit year. During this period, our shops network was fully open, although under strict precautionary measures, including mandatory masks and distancing measures. At the same time, macro KPIs improved on a quarter-on-quarter basis, but still remained subdued on a year-on-year level. GDP and private consumption for the third quarter will be announced in early December, but projections call for a near to double-digit GDP drops, coupled with a low to mid-single-digit private consumption decline. Tourism revenues have fallen by 91% between March and July 2020 and remained weak during the seasonally important Q3 period. Finally, leading indicators such as consumer confidence recovered partially in Q3 and declined towards two-year lows in October. Going forward, the outlook remains bleak. The recently imposed national lockdown, in line with what has happened in most EU countries, is expected to further push numbers down. The Ministry of Finance is now expecting a 10.5% GDP drop for the year versus 8.2% only a few weeks ago. And that is despite the government's relief measures, which will partially support quite a few sectors and individuals. When comparing macro with OPAP's performance, it is clear that despite being a predominantly retail business, we managed to outperform on most fronts. As you can see on slide 8, total GGR declined marginally, down by 0.7% year-on-year, and would probably have shaped towards higher levels if it wasn't for Joker Jackpot's unfavorable rollovers. On top, the revenue picture was quite mixed on a regional level. Several areas were positive, while it was the touristic areas, including the islands, that were hit the most, as lower tourism-related proceeds led to less disposable income and subsequently to lower spending from the local society's side. In more detail, lottery dropped by 9.3% in Q3. As mentioned in our Q2 call, the drop is mostly due to Keno on the back of the game structure and the fact that its successive 5-minute draws usually require more active time within the shop. This trend persisted in October, taking into account that some regions in Greece entered into local lockdowns. On the betting front, revenues increased double-digit, aided by Pames Tichyma performance, strong virtual numbers, and contribution from a new power spin game. October's numbers followed broadly the same trend, with growth among all games of the segment. VLTs also recorded solid growth by 10% year-on-year, proving that the game continues to be well taken by both existing and new OPAP customers alike. October's performance remained positive, although local lockdowns led to lower numbers month-on-month, and to a substantial deviation of different regions. Finally, Hellenic Lottery's numbers remained weak in Q3, figures dropping by a significant 14% year-on-year. Reduced mobility has hurt the game, as a considerable portion of its revenues is taking place through third-party POS and street vendors. As it seems, this trend continues in Q4, and it wouldn't change in the short term. Profitability-wise, and turning to slide 9, EBITDA for the quarter increased to 105 million euro versus 104 million in Q3 2019, while the net profit came in at 53 million, up by 8.3% year on year. In order to get to this point, and going to slide 10, we managed to once again more efficiently manage our costs, with total OPEX staying lower for a third consecutive quarter, down in Q3 by 3.8% year-on-year. The continuation of the pandemic and lockdowns imposed in November, which led to our shops closure, will mean that our cost efficiency exercise will, to the extent possible, continue for the remaining part of the year as well. On top, Kaizen contribution reached 7 million euro for the quarter, shaping a 9-month overall figure at 13.4 million as a result of the company's higher profitability and OPAP's increased stake at 69%. Furthermore, our participation has increased to 84.9% in November. Cash flow-wise, and slide 12, we managed to generate an operating cash flow of 159 million euro for the 9-month period. On the investment side, we spent 79 million due mostly to the acquisition of the additional stake in Kaizen, which together with the distribution of dividend per share of 30 eurocents in August, shaped our cash position to 543 million and our 9-month net debt to EBITDA ratio at a comfortable 1.7 times. Going to the COVID-related update and slide number 13, our network in Greece remains closed since November the 7th, with a lockdown lift announced for December the 1st. Cypriot stores have also closed in regions covering 40% of OPAP Cyprus operations, with the lockdown lift announced for the same date as the Greek one. That said, the impact on our business from the lockdown will not be vastly different versus the previous one. As seen on slide 14, should the lockdown get lifted as planned on December 1st, the impact should be in the area of 110 to 120 million in terms of GGR and 45 to 50 million in terms of EBITDA. On this front, I have unfortunately very fresh news, which was released earlier this afternoon, and that is that the government just announced that the lockdown, the national lockdown, will continue by another week until the 7th of December. Finally, as you know, our original concession pertaining to our legacy games expired as of October 12, 2020, and a new license extension ending in October 2030 came into effect. The new concession is in many ways similar to the old one, as it covers all of our legacy games. OPAP paid for the extension 375 million euros already in 2011, out of which 300 million euro, and according to the amendment of the contract addendum from 2013, corresponds to GGR contribution prepayment of 1.83 billion euro. OPAP has implemented the new concession agreement as per the contractual terms. The first monthly payment based on this new framework took place already in November. With that, I'm passing you over to Jan.
Thank you, Pavel. Following up on the financial part, I would like to start by thanking our 8,046 investors who participated in the bond issue for their support and vote of confidence, and reassure them that OPAP will continue to be worth of their trust. Jumping to an operational review of the quarter, we believe that OPAP has demonstrated exceptional operational readiness, managing to implement a heavy roadmap of initiatives in order to enhance players' engagement and at the same time ensuring that business is conducted smoothly. Starting as always with our OPAP stores network and slide 18, lockdowns and restriction measures did not prevent us from keeping on an extensive shops upgrade program, bringing another 233 new and upgraded stores up to the end of September. As mentioned in the past, new and upgraded stores provide significantly improved customer experience, leading to material better performance, and as such, we will continue towards this direction in the future as well. However, our shops remain currently closed, and as such, to help our loyal partners, we introduced, similarly to first lockdown, a process by which we temporarily postpone agents' receivables from their last clearance before second lockdown. We have also prepared a set of guidelines to help them benefit from the various government stimulus measures, covering in many cases a significant portion of their underlying fixed cost. At the same time, we are carefully planning our shops reopening, taking into account that safety comes first for both our agents and our players. We are ready and we will fully abide by any COVID-related mandate and restriction. Continuing with VLTs and slides 19 and 20, spending in the third quarter remained solid, with GGR per VLT per day of the machines that have been operational for a year coming in at 37 euro. Active customers increase now, standing close to the heights achieved just before lockdown as a result of our focus on providing clean and safe environment to our players, supported by CRM campaign, where one-to-one communication regarding the safety measures was accompanied with an offer incentives. Summer in-store promo focus on new registrations and players' visitation also positively contributed as players' participation to the draw promo surpassed 70%. We also managed to launch 13 new games, now reaching a total of 109, accompanied by 5 launch promos to enhance games trial and increase activity. At the same time, we changed the jackpot levels, now leading to more frequent jackpots, in an effort to increase the winning notion of the players. Overall, in the last years, our jackpot-related prices reached 22.5 million euro and were distributed at almost 47,000 winners. Going forward, December is definitely a seasonally important period for all of our games, and VLTs are no exception to that. As such, we are planning a set of actions to take the most out of the festive period, obviously upon a potential retail network reopening. Sports betting-wise, on slides 21 and 22, higher activity also due to a higher than usual number of events occurring within summer, along with our persistent focus on our sportsbook enhancement, led to increased numbers mentioned by Pavel earlier. SSBTs continue to be an important growth driver, constantly gaining weight in the mix, especially when it comes to live events. Our new game, Power Spin, aided by the 360 promo campaign, attracted quickly players' interest and proved to be a significant addition to our portfolio. Virtual's relaunch earlier this year is continuing to gain new and existing players' interest, having a lasting positive effect on our revenues. This is why we plan to see virtual sports as a whole new gaming category, and in line with that vision, we lately added high-definition virtual basketball to our mix, offering a whole new level of audiovisual gaming experience. We also have enhanced our racing product portfolio with Greyhounds that are now, together with the revamped horse races, offered as a part of the new live racing channel that provides continuous live betting content. Finally, we launched an innovative personalized live score push notification service where customers, by simple scanning of their betting slip, get live updates for all their events directly to their mobile phone, thus upgrading and further digitalizing the retail sports betting experience. When it comes to online and slides 23 and 24, our well-planned dual strategy is starting to pay off. Despite shops reopening, our online performance increased quarter on quarter, with online joker penetration remaining above 10% despite the lack of favorable jackpot rollovers. Active customers are now close to all-time highs, and we believe that we will hopefully exceed those levels in the coming weeks, while initial signs on the second lockdown performance are certainly demonstrating growing weekly numbers. The enrichment of our portfolio, together with improved key customers' rewards and handling, improved significantly our customers' experience. More steps in this direction are taken with the recent launch of the Salesforce platform that will enable us to further improve our CRM and customer support services. On top, to improve the quality of service of our payment and deposit services, we just went live with an alternative payment provider, delivering additional level of security of our operations. As evident on slide 25, Kaizen posted another quarter of record growth and will definitely enjoy another record year. Greece and Cyprus reached 73% of total revenue, with the rest of the territories growing at an even faster rate. The company has been recently awarded with the prestigious Mobile Operator of the Year Award at EGR Operator Awards on an international playing field, and this is obviously no coincidence. We believe that the company's performance so far fully vindicates our decision to increase our stake and further think that we will be able to enjoy even more benefits next year. Set aside our product and network enhancements, 2020 has been a year where both the society and our people needed the foremost of our attention. Starting with CSR, we donated medical equipment, hygiene material. We delivered sports apparel to thousands of deprived children across Greece. We continue our wishing ornaments program and launched an online dedicated platform related to our sports academy program. Additionally, we are actively participating in supporting Thessaloniki, the city that is being tested by coronavirus the most these days, by aiding the health system and local authorities. Specifically, the company has donated supplies and equipment to the Hippokratio General Hospital of Thessaloniki, a COVID-19 reference hospital, the municipality of Thessaloniki, and the city's police directorate. We also feel proud for our new responsible gaming campaign, both within our stores and across media channels, with the slogan of "Because you are in charge of the game and OPAP teaches you how." OPAP has been actively training the players regarding the core principles of responsible gaming and highlighting the importance of personal responsibility. Additionally, we are proud as we have just recently received from the auditors the signed statement of alignment of OPAP's RG program with the European Lotteries RG standards. This classifies OPAP among the top scoring gaming companies in Europe in responsible gaming. As for our people, working remotely brought us one step closer to the new continuous learning initiatives. We upgraded and enhanced with the new e-courses our OPAP Academy's e-learning hub, while we collaborated with Udemy to cover technical and other developmental needs. We will stay on the same path further, pursuing the development of our employees, which along with our agents have shown great professionalism and commitment that we are deeply thankful for. Just before finishing my opening statement, I would like to highlight the fact that the second lockdown finds OPAP in a much better position versus the first one. As you can see on the slide 26, sports betting calendar has been normalized, with sports events now taking place despite the lockdown, which in turn will lead to higher online sportsbook revenue. In the lottery segment, we acted promptly by adding a third joker draw, and as such, we can now benefit from an equal, and all other things equal, faster jackpot accumulation. Online groups offering is stronger than ever due to our increased stake in Kaizen and a better starting base in OPAP's online, both in terms of available products and active customers. Finally, our liquidity is even stronger with 483 million euro as of 24th of November, and on top, recent retail bond issuance, which was a remarkable success. We managed to raise 200 million euro at the 2.1% rate, which is the lowest interest rate amongst bonds that are traded in the local market, with the total valid demand from investors participating in the public offer reaching 611.9 million euro. With that, I am now concluding my opening statement. Thank you for your patience and attention, and I'm opening the floor for any questions you might have.
The first question comes from the line of Kourtesis Iakovos with Piraeus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I would like to ask, as you've said, on 16th of November, you paid the first installment of GGR tax for legacy games according to the new concession agreement. Could you confirm for us that this payment corresponds to a 5% GGR tax from your side? And was there any reaction from the Greek government, if any, or... would you be open, if there was any reaction from the Greek government, to engage in discussions with them? That would be my first question. Second question has to do with online launches, taking into account the new lockdown, if you plan any new launches of your legacy games to go online, like Kino, Lotto, and if you have a time frame for this. That will be from my side.
Hello, thank you for the question. Yes, indeed, on the 16th of November, we paid GGR contribution based on the rules for the extension of our legacy game concession. And indeed, we paid at the rate of 5%, but we have to take into account that already we prepaid a very large amount back in 2011, and that must be also taken into the account.
Did you have any reaction from the side of the Greek government on this payment?
No, this is a long time ago signed contract, so obviously no reaction from the government.
So if I may ask, how should we think on this from now on? Should we model a 5% GGR tax on your legacy games until 2030?
Our prescribed GGR contribution rate in the amendment of the addendum stands at the 30%. So our GGR contribution rate for the next 10-year period stands at 30%.
30%, okay. And what about online launches?
So on your second question, regarding online launches, at this moment we don't have any specific plans bringing additional games to online and extending the portfolio during the crisis and during the lockdown.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Draziotis Stamatis with Eurobank Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you very much for taking my questions. A few issues I would like to ask, and I guess it would probably be best if we took these one by one. So firstly, just on the on the tax issue, I was just wondering what the next steps are. Has there been any further communication on behalf of the state? And if not, would it be reasonable to expect a discussion process to kick off, especially as the new regime is poised to result in a sizable hole for the state budget?
Hello, I will answer this your question. As we said a couple of times, that we implemented this regime in the 13th of October. This is the regime and framework which was a long time anticipated since year 2013. And we currently are not in any negotiations because we are in the situation that we are implementing the contract which is there. So we are in the position where we are paying this GGR contribution, OPA prepaid already almost 10 years ago, the money which had the value for this period of time 1.8 billion euros. So this is the situation. So we are doing our business as it is anticipated in this concession agreement.
That's very clear. Thank you. And if I can follow up on this, now assuming let's focus on 2021. So assuming a normal period, there will be obviously a profit, but most primarily a cash flow boost from the lower duty payment. I was just wondering, what do you intend to do with this? Will this be treated as part of the normal cash flow generating capacity of the business, therefore available for distribution to shareholders, or will you treat it as, you know, temporary ahead of maybe, you know, a discussion with the states of any kind?
Well, obviously there will be some P&L and cash benefit. At this moment, it's very early really to say what we are going to do with cash in 2021. We have shops closed. We don't know what happens in Q1. But for sure, we are not planning to spend the cash or spare the cash for any future negotiations or anything like that.
Okay, that's very clear. And I'm just moving on to the lockdown issue. Just wondering, you mentioned before that the state the government announced today an extension of the lockdown for another week. Just wondering, based on the indications that you have, at the moment, do you think that that OPAP's stores will be bundled with retail shops upon reopening, or will they be included in the, in the eating out cohort, which would mean an opening date, further out in December?
We would wish to know, but this would be an entire speculation. We will see and follow the official communication of the government bodies on that subject. We are, as I said earlier, obviously ready, and that includes different kind of measures to be applied in stores. So in terms of readiness, we are prepared for any scenario.
Sure, okay, that's fair. And lastly, on the cost base, now assuming there are, further, let's say, rolling lockdowns in 2021, regional or partial or whatever, to what extent do you think that the cost base can be further rationalized in order to mitigate the effect from negative operating leverage?
Look, I think we demonstrated very good cost cautiousness already in 2020. For sure, as I said earlier, already for November, December, we are looking for further cost efficiencies. And of course, inevitably, when the network is shut down, we naturally save some costs because some of the costs are directly related to our day-to-day operations of the retail network. So I don't want to now speculate what cost savings we can make in 2021, but for sure we want to continue to be very careful on our cost base and really react very quickly, which we are able to react very quickly, also due to the fact that many of our cost base is variable and related to our revenues and to our shops being open. So definitely, if there would be further lockdowns or anything like that in 2021, we are ready again to react again immediately.
That's great. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Mascara Amit with Sephira Gem Equity. Please go ahead.
Apologize my accent. So just to confirm, you mentioned as your profitability goes up, with the new tax regime, which is obviously in line with your old agreement. So as an investor, we should just think of it as part of your, there's no change in your payout ratio in the future. Yeah. So there is whatever is the income, I should just assume similar payout ratio once we enter a normal environment post COVID.
This is really something which will be decided at a bit later stage, but for a long time we have been declaring our standing dividend policy to distribute bulk of the free cash flow.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Memisoglu Osman with Ambrosia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, many thanks for your time and the presentation. On the online bit, now that you have increased your exposure to SMGC, are you able to give us a bit more color on the financials? Obviously, you give us the revenue bit, but any more color on EBITDA, net profit, given that you're investing and potentially loss-making, I guess, on the non-SMGC areas? And then related to this, will you start consolidating it from the announcement date, or will you wait for the approval for sole control? that's the online bit. I'll wait for the other question I have. Thank you.
Okay, on EBITDA, I was just not sure. Where your question is heading. Whether it's own OPAP online operations, your assumption that it's loss-making. Actually, it's not.
Sorry, I skipped that part, I guess. I was talking strictly for Stoiximan or Kaizen. So within Stoiximan, so I was leaving OPAP online on its own, basically. But within Stoiximan, you give us a revenue. Are you able to, and we can figure out the net profit, obviously, for the total bit. Are you able to give us, now that you will own 85% of the Greek and Cypriot operations, are you able to give us an EBITDA figure for that bit?
Well, we do not report separately our companies within OPAP Group. So at this stage, we would not like to disclose the Stoiximan results. They are obviously very profitable, and as I mentioned, we've consolidated in Q3 7 million contribution from Stoiximan, and for the 9 months it's 13 million. Basically, your second question on consolidation, yes, we acquired additional 15% stake in Stoiximan during November. We are definitely looking at obtaining the sole control of the business. At the moment, it's subject to some regulatory approvals, and really it's difficult to estimate from which point of time we will be able to consolidate Stoiximan.
Okay. And the other question I have is as a follow-up to the GGR levy bit, will you be able to give us a bit more color guidance on the accounting treatment of this change?
Well, the profitability really of OPAP will be enhanced by the difference in the GGR contribution rate from the effect of the new GGR contribution rate plus the already prepaid 183 million for 2021 plus the amount that may arise from potential corporate taxation.
Okay, and I guess just to follow up on another figure, you mentioned 30%, but I guess that was the old figure, right?
No, the old was 35%, and for the next 10 years, the GGR contribution rate stands at 30%, and it's made up from it's 30%.
Okay, so it's 30% is your liability, but you will be paying 5% like you did in November.
Yes, yes, because we prepaid most of the most of the 30% already back in 2011.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Matsavras Paris with Padelaki Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes. Good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. Actually, the question refers to the effect of the new lockdown underway. And since, as you described in page 26, you are much better positioned now compared to the first lockdown, the question is, why do you guide for the more or less the same EBITDA loss of 45 to 50 million per month of lockdown? Why not something smaller? Thank you.
It's significantly smaller than the hit which we had in spring, obviously. This 45 45-50 million, which we indicate, is related just to these 3 weeks, and it's definitely a significantly smaller amount than, unfortunately, what we experienced during the second quarter.
If I remember correctly, I mean, you were guiding for a monthly impact to the same tune back then in spring. Or I'm mistaken.
But this figure includes also some local lockdowns, which we've been experiencing already during October, because already in October many of the regions in the northern Greece were shut down already since the mid of October. Also, we are really more hit in the Hellenic lotteries because it's a product naturally susceptible to COVID. People are afraid to buy physical scratch or physical passive lottery because of COVID. So really, still, as I mentioned, the Hellenic lotteries product are also significantly impacted.
Okay, it's clear. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Tsoukalafani with Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, hello from my side as well. So again, on the tax repayment question, just to be clear, it's basically on how it will be treated in the accounts. What will be the percentage reported of GGR tax payments reported in the P&L, and what will be paid in the cash flow, and if there's going to be a deferred tax liability created in the balance sheet maybe for 2030. And the second question has to do with Stoiximan's market share under the new licensing environment. What are your thoughts on that front? How do you see the new players coming in and when will be the new licenses distributed? I believe that it would be towards the end of the year. So these are the two questions from my side.
Yeah, I can confirm that the GGR contribution rate on legacy games from now on will stand on at 30%. However, cash-wise, we are going to pay 5%.
So GGR tax in the P&L will be on a 30% basis, but you will pay 5%. So does this create a deferred tax liability going forward?
We should say that.
Yeah. Remember that apart from 5%, we prepaid the remaining amount to 30% already. So on the deferred tax liability, there shouldn't be any major impact, really no impact.
Okay, so let's assume that you pay 500 million GGR taxes per annum, straight line. For 10 years, it would be around 5 billion. So let's say that you have already paid 1.8 billion and that you pay 5% GGR tax per annum. So more or less, we should imagine that this would offset the estimated the assumption of the 5% of the 5 billion GGR tax that should have been paid based on the 30% GGR tax. Hope I didn't confuse you.
If you allow me, I will try to answer this question. It's very, very hard to make any such kind of simple calculations as you did with 500 million and so on, because what we are talking about this new regime related to GGR contribution, please, this is not tax, this is contribution to the Greek state, we should also include there that except of this legacy games, we are paying the GGR contribution from other games, from VLTs, from Hellenic Lotteries products, and this is not changed at all. So this is very hardly to make any such simple calculation. Definitely our IR guys can have in the follow-up discussions with you some a little bit more detailed guidance how what could be there. But definitely, please, we should also have in our mind that it will depend on the volume of our business in the next years.
Yes, this is why I assumed a straight line and not, let's say, an increase of, let's say, 1 to 2%, or to make it more simplified and not... in any case, we can move on to the second question and I'll take it from...
Yes, the second question was related to Stoiximan. And if I caught it well, that's related to the licensing process. OPAP as well as Stoiximan delivered all needed documents to the Hellenic Gaming Committee for which were needed based on the requirements. And currently it is in the hands of Hellenic Gaming Commission that's the whole process of the evaluation of these documents and deciding about the licenses. So currently we don't have exact time plan when it could happen. We don't expect it will happen during this year. Once we have the is the framework for online in Greece based on the permanent licenses, then as we said also in the past, that we will continue fully in our dual strategy in online. It means that let's say that on the business wise or from the business point of view, that we will be fully competing with Stoiximan, just like with other competitors.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. And one last question on the VLT side. So what the 2020 is the first year of, the full year of 25,000 VLTs installed. Unfortunately, not as we would all have imagined during because of coronavirus. But I was wondering, what would you estimate as a maturity period for one machine that was, let's say, installed in December 2019 in order to see the matured performance and be able to, let's say, have a clearer view of how the machines are working? Would it be 1.5 years, 2 years, but in theory, of course, not including 2020?
Well, simple answer for one machine properly placed in the market would be somewhere around 18 months to reach its maturity. The answer is, however, not so simple because we are dedicating a lot of time, as you know from our regular updates, to reshuffling of the machines, assuring a proper placement across the network. So with that outlook, we believe that still next year, not only because of the COVID, but because of maturity of the machines as well, will be still a period to learn how the whole business will mature.
Okay, thank you so much for taking my questions.
The next question comes from the line of Orsini Luca with One Investment. Please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sorry to come back to the same issue of the tax, but just to make sure that we all understand and I understand it properly, essentially you have already paid the tax and you will account it for the next 10 years. And you will pay tax accordingly, because in reality you haven't paid, you haven't deducted from, you have actually paid more taxes already because you didn't deduct from the tax the payment that you made for the concession. Is that correct?
Yes, let's summarize this. Starting October 2020, we are entering, or we entered into the new concession agreement for the legacy games. And we are in the framework where from these games, the GGR contribution to be 30%. OPAP already prepaid the significant part of this GGR contribution already in year 2011, which is counted for the period of 2020 to 2030 for amount 1.831 billion euros, which is equally dispersed for every year or each year from this 10 years period. It means 183 million per year. This is already considered as paid. Then OPAP is paying 5% GGR, plus OPAP, and based on this agreement, there is a formula which is saying that at the end of this period, we made the calculation about this payments done by OPAP, it means this prepayment 1.8 billion, plus 5% paid every year, and it will be compared, by the way, this comparison we are obliged to do every year based on the audited figures, and to send this and inform Ministry of Finance about the difference, where the settlement of this differences, yearly differences, to be done based on annual accounts of OPAP for year 2030, it means somewhere in the period May-June 2031, where the formula is saying that if OPAP business is going so that this paid money plus prepaid money, including also some corporate tax factors, will exceed prepaid amount, then OPAP will have to do some settlement with the state and at that moment to pay this difference. It is also valid in the opposite. It means if the factual payments counted for these 10 years will be lower than the prepayment, then OPAP will be authorized to be paid or to be settled by the Greek state. Is it clear?
That is very clear. Sorry for being the fourth one on the same question, but it is very important and there is a little bit of confusion in the investment community.
No, it is extremely important, of course, for us, and we fully understand that there is a good and necessary to provide such kind of information. So this is, let's say, in the summary, what the new concession framework for legacy games of OPAP for the period between 13th of October 2020 till 12th of October 2030, what this new concession framework is bringing to us.
Then I have a more general question on the sports betting. We are now getting the events back. The fact that the events are without public in most places or with very limited public in other places, does that affect the betting, the behavior of the betting community, or does it not, in your view? It's more a qualitative than quantitative question.
Thank you for the question, and I'll probably not surprise you that it's very difficult to draw any kind of direct correlation. We see primarily a correlation between the events happening or not, and that's the key benefit of now the second wave, that the events are indeed happening. Obviously, what remains answered in the future is what will be the long-term impact of events happening without the fans, because as we all know, from our own sponsoring activities, that's an important part of the game, an important essence for the community to be shared. So it remains to be seen, but at this moment we don't see any direct correlation between these two.
Okay, thank you for the answer.
The next question comes from the line of Bilbos Dimitris with Optima Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. I have three questions. The first one is, I think, very clear. If we assume that we have 1 billion euros of GGR in 2021, we should assume that we will see on your P&L 50 million euros of GGR contribution. And if so, what will happen with the agencies? Because the reduction of the GGR contribution will raise your NGR, So agent fees are based on the NGR. So should we expect higher agent commissions? Are we going to renegotiate the current contract with them? This is my first question. The second one has to do with the Scratch and the Hellenic Lotteries operation. If I remember correct, you have to pay a minimum GGR contribution of 50 million euros. Given that currently the GGR performance of this business is not so good, the GGR overall will be less than 150 million euros. Should we expect a negotiation of this minimum GGR contribution given that we have this extreme situation with a nationwide lockdown in Greece, or we should stick to the previous regime? And finally, regarding the very good performance of PAMI Stoichima, I just want to clarify if we have a positive, a lower payout ratio. So according with same or better wages, we have seen this increase in the GGR in Q3. If we have this positive impact on the payout ratio, we have more surprises in Q3. Thank you.
Okay, so the first question, I think you were quoting theoretical example of 1 billion, 1 billion GGR in 2021. So I just repeat, we will be against 1 billion GGR. We would be recording 30%, i.e. 300 million euro GGR contribution, not 50 million as you suggested. Now you mentioned the agents. Look, I think it's very premature to come to any conclusions. We are always discussing the commercial terms and conditions with our agency network, so I think it's a bit premature now to discuss anything else. On the 50 million minimum GGR contribution in Hellenic Lotteries, indeed, it's prescribed in the concession agreement. We see COVID as a clear force majeure. We've been locked down. The street vendors could not operate. The op-up stores were closed down. So we faced quite a substantial period in the year. We simply couldn't produce GGR, and therefore for us it's a very clear-cut case, and we already discussed with the government that definitely in 2020 the 50 million GGR contribution cannot be met, and it should be a lower number.
Now, regarding on the sports betting payouts question, in Q3 we obviously, as usually, see different payouts different weeks, but overall, on average, the payout was not any unusual from our expectations. So no special benefits driven from that.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Poynton Russell with Edison Group. Please go ahead.
Hello all. It's actually Russell Poynton. My name's the other way around. A couple of questions for you. Within your guidance for the impact from the second lockdown, could you talk about the assumed rate of recovery? Are you assuming effectively what you saw post the first lockdown? And aligned to that, I think you said that December is typically a more important month in the quarter. So as we think about the potential weakness going further on, is it correct to assume a greater impact, and also therefore the rate of recovery you assumed would be lower given it is December? And another question is, in terms of your CapEx, I mean, your free cash flow is growing very well this year, and part of that is the profitability, the working capital, and CapEx has come down. Will we expect some catch-up CapEx as you move into 2021? Thanks very much.
Good. So I'll start with answering your first part of your question regarding the second lockdown impact and the recovery speed. We, as we mentioned earlier, we expect that we we expect. We keep hoping that we will be able to reopen our network, but it's entirely dependent on the state decisions that we are obliged to follow. The later it comes, the greater the impact in December. It's very difficult to guess on your question how much any specific week in December is more important than other, because this year everything is simply different. Regarding the recovery, that also remains to be answered with respect to the measures that will be applied. It all depends on that. We might see anything from very limited amount of customers able to step into the stores all the way to possibly what we have had before the COVID, second COVID lockdown, which was a limited amount of customers but still being able to stay in the store. So it remains to be seen. I'm sorry not being able to give you a more clear answer.
Okay, on the CapEx, indeed, there are quite large savings on CapEx side during 2020 because of COVID and because we wanted to preserve the cash. In 2021, we always declare that probably ongoing maintenance CapEx for OPAP is in the region of 20 to 25 million euro. And based on our current project roadmap, this is what we can sort of estimate and assume for 2021. It doesn't mean that everything which we saved in 21 will be all of a sudden spent in 2020. Sorry, what we saved will be all of a sudden spent on top of normal CapEx in 2021. So we just expect normal year to deliver the projects which we need to do to drive our business. Obviously, with the cautiousness that in case there are further lockdowns, we will always revisit our spend going forward.
Sorry, can I come back on the first question, please? I appreciate the situation is different this time and there's still uncertainty, but I think what I was trying to get a feel for is you assumed a closure over a certain period, but then did you assume a similar trajectory in recovery that you saw post the initial lockdown in terms of, you know, I forget the numbers, but, you know, week one was 50%, week two, 60%, 70%. So I'm making numbers up, but were you just effectively on a trajectory basis assuming the same rate of recovery, albeit things are different?
Well, it's already the second lockdown. Definitely there are large groups of population which are hardly hit, not only from the lockdown in spring and now of the second, but also from the really bad touristic season where many people didn't have revenue or salaries from the jobs in tourist industry. So yes, I'm sure people will try to have some entertainment, but it will be pre-Christmas period. There will be certainly distancing measures again in place. We will see how strict or not. So it's a bit difficult really to predict what will happen. And maybe also it's not clear whether the whole Greece will be reopened also on the 7th of December. In spring it was in waves, but whenever we opened all the OPAP stores, we were just opened. And remember that the Play stores were opened 1 month later. So it's a bit difficult now to estimate and predict what exactly will happen and when and how much people are hit really by the whole situation and how much they will be eager to spend with us.
Excuse me, Mr. Poynton, are you done with
yes,
your question?
Yes, I'm sorry. Thank you. That's fine. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Papagiorgiou Alexandros with NBG Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Thank you for the presentation. On the subject of the contribution, the GGR contribution, first of all, am I right to understand that this only applies to sports betting and lotteries and not to instants and VLTs?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
Okay, so going back to just back on to the envelope calculation, if we assume about 1 billion GGR from those two, every year. That sums up to about 10 billion in 10 years. So 30% of that is about 3 billion, of which you will have paid every year 5%. So that's half a billion. And if we add the 1.8 that you have already prepaid, that, if I'm right, leaves about 700 million of tax still to be paid in 2030. So wouldn't that create a deferred tax liability?
Just if you allow me to answer your question, again, this is theoretical calculation. The comment is that there is also in the formula, there are some corporate tax parameters which can influence this whole calculation. So this is definitely also this is not about, from the accounting point of view, this is not about the deferred tax treatment, but as we said, that's we will calculate on every year results this difference, and as we said also, we have to report this difference to Ministry of Finance, and of course, if this difference will indicate that at the end of the period, for the relevant year, we will have to, or will be so that the OPAP will pay some additional amount, this amount will be provisioned in our accounting every year. So this is clear that we will reflect this in our results. For it means important topic is, and that's something what we will report, is that on every financial year results there must be calculation based on audited figures. There must be calculation of the difference of paid GGR contribution, including some corporate tax effects compared to the amount which was, which is based on the real GGR contribution from the relevant games. So every year it will be clear, and you will see it, what is what for the based on this formula, what could be the difference, either positive or negative.
Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the conference over to Mr. Karas for any closing comments. Thank you.
We thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much for all the questions. And as always, our IR team is ready to follow up with you offline. Thank you very much. Have a great day. Have a great evening. Goodbye. See you soon. And very importantly, stay safe. Bye.